Okay, and now we're going to have the pleasure of listening to Sister Iris Blanton from Neptune, New Jersey. She says, "I was lost, but not unfound, was blind, but now I see." We've been there. A desire to be saved at Armageddon and no Bible knowledge, which she could compare what she was learning from the Watchtower to, resulted in 17 years of Watchtower control. Jesus graciously saved and delivered Iris, and we're going to hear all about it. Lord bless you, Iris.
That was part of my testimony, but we'll hear about that in a couple of minutes. First, I want to say how I'm here today. I wasn't planning on being here today. Last year was my first time attending a Witnesses Now for Jesus convention, and I was really touched. I mean, it's hard to even put into words what happened. I went to Joan and told her I'd seen her on a videotape that had extra witnesses who were now saved, and that really opened my heart to receive the Lord. And then I told her I was interested in giving my testimony, so I asked her what would I have to do. She said to write my testimony out and mail it to her by January. So end of December came, I was at work. I'm like, should I do this? And I started writing my testimony, and then just writing it, I guess a lot of old feelings came back and said, no, I'm not going to do it. But then God had other plans. I said, a man plans his way, but God directs his steps. In July, I got a letter from Joan. Asked me, she said, did you still want to give your testimony? I'm like, wow. I said, Lord, is this you? You know, I wasn't sure. So I prayed about it. Of course, I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then the Lord, Holy Spirit, is awesome. I'm glad he's in my life. But I kept getting like a check in my spirit. He said, no, you need to go. So I'm here today, and I thank God for that. I'm excited to be here, too. I'm excited about Jesus, what he's doing in my life, and just having a life now. A lot of you know what I'm talking about. Also, too, can all the ex-Jehovah's Witnesses raise their hand, please? Wow, thank God. I wanted to say hello to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we used that title before when we were in the organization, but it's not the same at all. Okay, I'm going to start my testimony now. My childhood, I'm the oldest of six kids. My father was the youngest of 11 children. And I didn't know this until I became a Jehovah's Witness, but his mother had been a Jehovah's Witness. While I was growing up, we went to the Kingdom Hall from time to time, but not regularly. We celebrated the holidays and everything. I got to be like 17 years old. I became an unwed mother. And at that time, witnesses would come from time to time to study with my mother. And he also had a study with my sister. And I was just going through a lot of different things. You know, I felt bad about being an unwed mother. I'm like, how am I bringing my daughter up? And then from time to time, I would sit in the other room while they were studying with my sister. They were talking about Armageddon and how I was going to come. I said, well, I didn't take care of my daughter before. I said, at least I want to make sure she survives Armageddon. So my sister said, I don't want to have to study anymore. And I said, well, I'll have the study. So the girl came back and she started studying with me. And everything I said sounded pretty good because I didn't have any Bible knowledge. That is so important. I want to all parents out here, try your best to have your children study the Bible. Have children's Bibles now that's at a level that they can understand. Please do this, because if you don't have Bible knowledge, you are open to anything. And so I became a Jehovah's Witness. I got baptized February 6, 1977. After going through the organization book, I should have known something was up. All those questions you had to answer before you could even be baptized. But I didn't think about it. So during the time of being a Jehovah's Witness, I half-heartedly did everything. You know, I went out in field service, door-to-door, place magazines. Didn't really, you know, like what I was doing, but felt as if this was going to get me through Armageddon, I was going to do it. So, and all the time, too, that I was a Jehovah's Witness, I felt something was missing. And it wasn't until later on when I accepted Jesus Christ that I realized he was what was missing in my life. So about 1984, I met a newly saved Jehovah's Witness. And we started seeing each other, and we decided to get married. And it's really something, because I don't know about any other women here, but sometimes you see signs that the person is abusive, but you say, maybe I can change them, or maybe it's not that bad. So you just let it go. Bad choice. But we got married in 1985. At that time, my daughter was 12 years old. But before we got married, like a lot of other couples, we had sex before we got married. So we got married, and our conscience really bothered us. So we went to the elders. Probably know what happened. But we went to the elders, they talked to us, and, you know, they said, well, even though you're married now, we're going to fellowship too. Which is real, you know, which is like, okay, that's okay. But then it made me think, there were a lot of elders there who had children who had, you know, had sex and pregnant. And they just, you know, no report, nothing. But no disfellowship, no even public reproof. I said, that's okay. At that time, we thought we're just being, you know, punished for what we did. So they fellowshipped us in January of 1986. And for 5 months, you know, they, you know, we came there and we sat there. And, made, you know, that's just showing our guilt because we still, you know, we're coming to the meetings and everything. It's really something, too, because all of a sudden, all my friends, I have family members, I have an uncle in Bethel. You know, of course, it was like you weren't even there. You go food shopping, and you see people, they see you, and they, like, go down another aisle or act like you don't even exist. I'm like, okay, this is my punishment. So in May, we went to them saying that we were really sorry, and they decided to let us back in. And we were so excited because now we can go out and field service. Still couldn't comment, but we could go out and field service. But, so... Also during that time, when I got married, my daughter was 12 years old, and teen years are really rough, especially in a step-family situation. And we went to different elders. It ended up being four different elders for help, and it really wasn't any help at all. They said to use physical discipline, which was not a good move, especially with my now ex-husband being, you know, abusive. So things really got, like, out of hand, and when she got, like, six, one time he hit her, punched her in the nose, and her nose started bleeding, and she ran away from home, and she went to my brother and sister-in-law, and the police got involved, and they arrested me and my husband, and we had to go to court, and we had lawyers, of course, and the lawyer said, well, the elders gave you advice, and he said, yeah, four different elders we went to. So... they, you know, tried to subpoena the elders, and the elders, of course, got in touch with the Watchtower Society in New York, and their lawyer told them that they never gave us any counsel. So here, me and my ex-husband go to, you know, court in that state, and they said, well, being, sometimes when you're being abused, I think you're, I guess being first controlled by the organization, then by a controlling husband, it's like you don't really realize that you are. I was also being battered, too, but I don't know, I just didn't really, I guess, realize it. So they said, well, you're, you know, also a battered. We got fingerprint and everything. I still have a record. But they gave me 1,000 hours community service time, and my ex-husband got 9 months in jail. So during his 9 months in jail, it was kind of like good. I was by myself. He didn't think I'd be able to keep the apartment, the car, and everything else. But not knowing at the time, God made a way. He made sure that I got money and everything. And I got, it was peaceful, him not being there. You know, I found, It was, and also, too, I realized that I wasn't as incompetent as he said I was. So after the 9 months was up, he came back home, and he thought things were going to go back to the way they were. You know, him being controlling and dominating everything, and I said, I don't think so. So time went on. I was, like, really, really getting, like, really depressed, you know, because the abuse was still keeping up, and I said, I don't know what to do. And also, too, I skipped the part. This happened in 1991. He went to jail, came out in 92. But I stopped going to the Kingdom Hall because I said, this cannot be of God. I said, these people give us advice. You know, they want to control your lives, but then when it comes down to taking responsibility, they're not there. So I said, no, this is not of God. I took all my Bibles, all my public, everything that ever happened, and threw it all away. I said, I don't want to have anything else to do with them. Then the abuse really started getting worse. And I had stopped praying to God and everything, but it got so bad at one point that I said, God, I would rather die than continue to go on like this. Please do something. Because he was threatening me, but he had knives and stuff. And he said, you know, I can come in the middle of the night and kill you. You know, he choked me one time. He also threw me down one time, and I came like this close to hitting my head on a sharp end of a table. But I knew God had his hand on me. He was going to destroy me, but God had other plans for me. And I thank him for that. But during this time, too, I said, well, you know what? I went for counseling. And they said it wouldn't do any good unless he came also. So I said, I'm not going to live in this situation anymore. And I got the courage, thought it was mine, but later on I found it was the Lord. And I said, we have to separate. I can't live like this anymore. So in September of 1993, I told him that, you know, we were going to separate. So we started dividing the bills and stuff. And I knew it had to be God because all of a sudden the calm came on. He wasn't, you know, as abusive. You could work things out, who has what bills, how they were going to get paid and everything. And things went really smooth, and God made a way for me to get a promotion on my job because we had one car. I got a promotion on my job. I was able to get my own car. And then in December of 1993, me and him separated. I moved in with my sister. People in my family knew I was being abused, but nobody said, you know, anything. But when I told my sister, I guess because they were waiting for me to tell them. But when I told my sister that I was being abused, she said, well, don't worry about it. She said, you can come stay with me. So December 28, 1993, I went to stay with her. I wasn't going to church or anything. My family was giving me different, you know, Bibles, like our daily bread and different things. So they said, well, you know, you still need, God does care about you. You know, I said, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But one of my friends who has studied with Jehovah's Witnesses and went through with the whole time of being in this fellowship, she, you know, said, well, Iris, we'll have no watch night service at our church. She said, you really should come. She said, I know you don't think God cares about you. We said, you're out of that, you know, abusive situation. You have a new car. You got a promotion. She said, who do you think did that for you? And I said, God. And she said, you're right. So I wasn't sure I was going to go. But that night, I called her and told her, yeah, I'll go with you. So I went to church first time in over 20 years. And, you know, it's like really funny because when you're Jehovah's Witness, they think, make you think when you're going to church that, you know, if you go in there, lightning's going to strike you or something. But I said, I didn't care. I didn't even care anymore. So I went, and the church I went to was Charismatic Church. And when they were praying, you know, the preacher was praying, and everybody else was like commenting and stuff. That, oh, I'm not used to this. I don't know what's going on. And the praise and everything was really lively, but I didn't feel uncomfortable, you know, even though it was like totally different. So that was the watch night service. And the next night, my brother came over. My brother was a deacon in the church. He came over with a tape that had Joan in it. It had ex-Jehovah's Witnesses who were now born-again Christians. And he said, you really should look at this. So I took it home, and I was, like, spellbound. I mean, I watched it. It was, like, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I watched it, and I said, I have to watch this again. So I watched it 2 times. And then the next day, my brother said, well, what do you think? And I said, I thought it was okay. He said, well, do you want to do anything? I'm like, no. I said, I was in Jehovah's Witnesses for that, you know, that amount of time. I'm not ready to get involved in any other religion. But God had other plans. So that was in January. And my daughter, all this time, she had ran away from home. My mother was going to church. So my daughter started going to church. And she, you know, was born again, accepted the Lord when she was 16. I didn't know all the time she was praying for me. So she was also involved in a Youth United for Christ Mass Choir. It's like 100 young people that go from church to church singing. And they were going to be singing at my brother's church. And I said, I'm going to go because being a Jehovah's Witness, basically, if your family's not Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't want you to have that much contact with them. So I lost a lot of time with my family. So I said, well, I'll go just so I can see my brother, my nieces and nephews. And while it was like a youth alternative for Christ service that they had. A lot of young people, you know, singing and praise dancing, which I had never seen before. But one particular group, they were called the Gospel Team from Newark, New Jersey. They did praise dancing. And they also did, like, skits. And then one of their skits, it was just like showing Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ, when he died, he didn't die for Adam's sins, which we know Jehovah's Witnesses teach. He died for my sins. And all of a sudden, it really touched me. I'm like, wow. And then later on, they did praise dancing to a song called Speak to My Heart. I don't know how many people here have heard it, but it talks about the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, tell me what you want me to do. And then after that, the director of the choir, she gave a prayer. She said, you know, I like it for everybody's prayer. Bow their heads and pray. So I bowed my head. And she said, I would like for anybody here who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to please do so now. And, you know, she said, and if you have, please raise your hand. So I was there with my head bowed like everybody else. And all of a sudden, because of being in the controlling Jehovah's Witness sect and being in an abusive marriage, I had no feelings. I didn't care about myself, basically, and didn't have any feelings. I couldn't even really feel my heart. But when she said that prayer, all of a sudden I could feel my heart. You know what I'm saying? I'm just caught up in the day, the music, the children, and everything. So then I didn't raise my hand, but the next day was Sunday, and I woke up, and I wanted to go to church. I'm like, wow, this is strange. So, you know, by that time, it was like, I think, 10:30, and most everybody in my family was already out and gone. And then I said, well, I know that 98.7 is a station called Kiss Inspiration to play gospel music in the morning. So I turned it on, and they started playing the music. All of a sudden, I started, like, raising my hands, and tears were, like, flowing uncontrollably. And I said, I'm losing my mind. I really did. I thought I was losing my mind, but the Holy Spirit spoke clearly to me says, Iris, you're not losing your mind. Yesterday when they said that prayer, you did accept, you know, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So I just got down on my knees in this, and I verbally accepted him. And I was, like, so excited. I was like, who can I call? Everybody in my family, I'm the oldest of six. Everybody else in my family saved. All my sisters, brothers, my mother, everything. So I'm trying to call everybody. Everybody's at church. I'm leaving messages on. Everybody's answering machines. So I was like, now, he said, now what do I do? So I said, well, you know, that's why I wanted to say, too, to the Harveys, I really appreciate you. Because praise and worship is, like, my favorite part of the service. It really is. I love praise and worship. And you do a wonderful job. I want to thank you for that. So I put on gospel music, and I was playing it. And I just, you know, just joy. Joy just flooded my soul. And the next day I got to work, and I was running around telling everybody, I said, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness anymore. I said, I'm a born-again Christian. I said, I accept the Lord, my Lord and Savior. And I just thank God. I was just truly, truly excited. But see, also, God is definitely in control of our lives because I said, well, let me remember this date. It's a very important date. And it was February 6, 1994. And then the Holy Spirit said, Iris, don't, 17 years exactly from the day I was baptized as Jehovah's Witness. So I know it was nobody but God. You know, totally nobody but God. So then during this time, when I first accept, you know, was saved, I was a wreck. I mean, from being a Jehovah's Witness and being, you know, being in an abusive marriage, I had, like, no self-esteem, no self-respect, you know. I didn't think I was to really do too much. My mind, I thought, was totally messed up, as my ex-husband told me. But first thing I did was ask the Holy Spirit to take all that Jehovah's Witness stuff out of my mind, and especially the Bible. Because when I tried to read, you know, the King James Version or the New King James Version, I couldn't. It was all mixed up. So I said, please take that old Bible out of my mind so I can read this and really get the Word. And he did it for me, too, and I thank him for that. And over the 4 years that I've been saved, he's given me, I won't say self-respect, because I call it Christ-respect, because I know who's in me now. So I have Christ-respect, Christ-confidence, and Christ-esteem. And I know before I used to be really shy, I would never be doing this. But I told the Lord, I said, being that he saved me, I said, this is not my testimony. It's really your testimony, what you're doing in my life. So I said, well, any way you want to use me, you know, you can use me. And when I first came out, I had a deep resentment for the organization. Truly, I really did. And Lord told me, Iris, you can't go on. If you're not going to be growing me. He said, bitterness is not something good for you to hold on to. So I said, well, God, you're going to have to take it away. And also, too, the Lord helped me to forgive my ex-husband, which is also hard for me to do. But one thing I learned, and I was so glad the scripture she used, that everything we've gone through in an organization, Satan meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. But it's up to me and each one of us to take what's going into our life to either make us bitter or better. And I'm choosing to make it, you know, to make me better. And also, too, I made a list of the things that we got as being a Jehovah's Witness and how we can now use it as being born again Christians. The ministry school, because of ministry school, I'm able to stand here now and talk to all of y'all. And because of going door to door, talking to people who didn't want to hear what you had to say, I had, you know, that gave me boldness, which is another thing I'm using today. And also, too, being a Jehovah's Witness, we learned where all the books of the Bible were. So now, when I go to church, I'm like the first one to get to the scripture. So I thank God for that. And also, too, because our minds have been controlled, we know what it's like. And I didn't, but see, also, too, I'm going to tell Joan. Last year, coming here was like freedom to me because I had best being in Jehovah's Witness and controlled. I was part of a controlling church, under a controlling bishop. And it got so bad to the point I was working in different ministries that I didn't want to be in, but I was there because they told me I needed to be there because the work needed to be done. I didn't even want to go to church anymore. I felt a burden to go to church. And I said, Lord, this is not right. I said, I'm feeling the way I did when I was Jehovah's Witness. Something's definitely wrong. And that's why I'm so glad I came here, because you set me on the road to really being free. And I said, well, I can't go back now. I mean, I was here with all my, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, free. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to do something. So I went back to that church, but I also started visiting other churches. And which really helped me a whole lot, because I got to see that the body of Christ is more than just, you know, what I was used to there. But one thing, too, that really helped me in being a Jehovah's Witness was our Kingdom Halls were like, you know, the church I went to was all African Americans. And I said, anyway, it's really strange. I was uncomfortable because I had gotten used to being among different races. So I said, God, what's wrong? I said, something is definitely wrong with this. I don't understand what's going on. So the Lord told me, he said, Iris, I put you through that because I wanted you to see. And the Lord has called me now to, I guess you could say, a ministry of reconciliation. First of all, to get people reconciled first to God through Jesus Christ. And then, two, I couldn't get with the denomination thing. I said, what's this about? You know? I said, this is not of God. I said, being that we are one, you know, and we're all one in the body of Christ, that we should all be together. You know, it's like, it's really sad to me that 11 o'clock is still the most segregated hour on Sundays. And, you know, because people, that's not of God. It's really not. And Romans 12:2, it says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not conforming to the world. And we have to ask God to renew our minds. It's really something, too, because sometimes we don't think maybe that we prejudge or that we're prejudiced. But if you think back, and I had to really do a self-examination on myself, and I thought back, I said, sometimes I do prejudge people just because maybe they're a certain color or something else. And I said, Lord, please forgive me for that, because the body of Christ cannot be that way. When Christ comes back, he's coming for one church. And we have to be together. We have to be unified. So I said, well, God, I said, we really need to do something, you know. And one scripture that's really, I guess, one of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, where it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So it's, to me, that's a burden on my heart. It's just to see that we're all really one. And I think one thing we need to do first is just do a self-examination. Say, well, God, do I prejudge people? You know? And if I do, please forgive me, because I don't want to be that way. You know, I want my mind to be renewed. I want to love my sister and brother. You know, I want to love them by their spirit, not go by their color. And also, too, some people say that we should be colorblind, and that's not true. We should be color appreciative. Yeah, we should. We should appreciate. I should appreciate that your hair is blonde. You have blue eyes, you know, and you can appreciate that I have dark hair and color my, and appreciate it and learn different things about our culture. Communication, I really feel, is the key for us really to becoming one in the body of Christ. And it's something that each and every one of us have to do. One person can't do it all. And in closing, I just want to say that I thank God for this opportunity, that I love each and every one of you dearly. And I'm just excited about being saved. And it's really something, because in my old church, the controlling church, they said, all right, you have to stop being so excited. I'm like, no, I'm not. I said, I am not going to stop being excited about Christ. I said, to me, it gets better and better. This February 6th will be 5 years since I've been saved, and it just keeps getting better. Because now I know God has a plan for my life, a purpose for my life, and I'm just excited about it. And I just wanted to, you know, ask each and every one of you just to put Christ at the head of your life, ask him what he wants you to do, and just give yourself first to him, and everything else will come. Just like Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. It's definitely true. And I want to thank Joan again for this opportunity, and I want to thank Ted. Ted was one of the people that was instrumental, and when I first got saved, I got his number and your number. And I called him. He really helped me a lot, because he sent me a whole lot of literature about, you know, how to come out and just, you know, how to go about living this Christian life. And I just want to thank him. And I just want to thank all of you. And just put Christ first in your life, and everything that you could ever want will be added. Thank you.
Never lose that joy in the Lord.